The numbers told the story, they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Hour number two of a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, and of course, SiriusXM Channel 158. Gil Alexander. That right there is Kelly Bidlin, producer number nine. So much more than a producer. Would you like to list all your other jobs that you do here?
I like to take a scout of what's going on the Circa casino every once in a while. Just did that.
What'd you find?
I got some Cowboys playing Ultimate Texas Hold'em out there.
A lot of Cowboys.
Yep.
A lot of Cowboys.
Responsible, though, as I brought up yesterday. There's only a couple out there. A couple stragglers.
Responsible gamers.
That's right. Or they're up early. They're probably just up early gambling.
Felika Fezzik and Dr. Bob standing by. We got tweets beating the book. GV, New Jersey, New York. The Mel Kiper drinking game you referred to. Also known as death by alcohol poisoning.
Yeah.
It's very true.
Yes.
JC, he says, minus 48 wind chill. Here in the Bay, we think the world's ending at a chilly 50. Yeah, we do. Buddhist man, regarding the last Pitts touchdown, does attached clothing count as a body part? Like when a batter gets hit by pitch on the shirt, or when the extended oven mitt counts as his hand sliding into a base? I ask because Pitts' towel hanging from his waist lands inbounds before the butt elbow. That you are correct. The towel did, but guess what? It doesn't count.
Doesn't count.
NFL doesn't play that. Rob Graham from Canada clarifying. He said, yes, minus 48 Celsius, just giving a weather tidbit. The only temperature that's the same for Celsius and Fahrenheit is minus 40.
Oh. By the way, I went down a rabbit hole in that. It's like minus 35. Like, you shouldn't be outside for more than like a couple minutes because you're going to get like...
Yeah. Bro, it's the worst.
Yeah.
Dell Mind the Gap Radio. If the Dolphins were in the NFC South, they'd be one game out of a home playoff game, still waiting 51 years from their last Super Bowl win. What was that? What were you talking about? Oh, how long has it been since Notre Dame won a national championship now? 37 years. And we still speak of them also as if, you know, they're...
Yeah, whenever Rudy was there.
Yeah. Yes, I think. Let's go. We'll do an investigation. We'll see whether Rudy was there. Chris Felica knows a thing or two about college football and beyond. He's the Bear from Fox Sports, the host of the Bear Bets podcast empire over there at Fox and a part of Big Noon Saturdays, which no longer for the year. Fox is donezo for the college football season. Yeah. He joins us now courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line at Chris Felica, F-A-L-L-I-C-A on Twitter. Christopher Felica, good morning, sir.
1988, Notre Dame's last national championship beat West Virginia in the Fiesta Bowl, although they should have won the 1993 national championship by virtue of their win over Florida State in the regular season, and both the Seminoles and Fighting Irish finished with the same record that year.
I believe young Gil nailed it when he said 37 years. I believe he did.
Head-to-head results, they don't matter.
Oh, they do now.
Oh, they do now.
Well, okay. They did this year.
They did this year. Thank goodness. Okay, let's begin. Let's get the soccer out of the way because your buddy Paul Carr was just on. He was fading your boys at Liverpool. I know you weren't appreciative of that. You have some Premier League thoughts.
Well, I'm not exactly fading them, but I agree with Paul. Like, it's, I played both teams to score in that game, and it's a little heavily priced. I think it's right around minus 185 or so. So I parlayed that with Arsenal to win to nil versus Wolves tomorrow. So you get that parlay is like plus 124. But Paul's right. Liverpool's a team that give up a... I didn't hear the segment, so I don't know what he said. This is just me being a Liverpool fan and watching them play. They give up a ton of goals from set pieces. Ibu Konate has not been very good this year. He's kind of gotten lost in central defense at times. Brighton's a team that scores a lot of goals. Liverpool played a really good defensive match at Inter Milan the other day in Champions League when they did win 1-0. But coming home, it feels like this is a game where they will score. But at the same time, I do think they will concede. So both teams to score there, along with Arsenal to win to nil against Wolverhampton. Wolves, I think, has scored very few goals, maybe two or three goals, I think, away from home all year. Arsenal down again, a couple of guys still on the injury front. But with how poor they were in their last Premier League match, they need to just go out and make this a clean 2-0 type win. So Arsenal to win to nil. Liverpool, Brighton, both teams to score is how I hook those two up to get those two prices.
There you go. A little parlay, plus 124 parlay. Paul's exact words, since you missed it, were Brighton double chance versus Liverpool. Also, I dislike Chris Felica immensely. Yeah. I believe it was the exact
anybody quote. Who backs Liverpool is a coward.
Yeah, I think something like that. Yeah. Something like that.
I believe it. I believe. Thank you for saving me the trip down to check the tape. So I take that as gospel, what you guys just said.
All right. And what is this play? Is this La Liga I'm looking at? What is this right here?
Yeah. La Liga. Atletico Madrid went to nil against Valencia. Valencia is a team that, again, another team that does not score away from home. Atletico Madrid, typically a very sound defensive-minded game team, to win to nil against Valencia minus 120. That one I don't have a problem playing straight up. That price is fine.
Okay. Let's crescendo to college football. Let's go to the NFL. We don't often get Chris Felica's takes on the National Football League. Let's start with, these are all futures now. So with four games left in the season, you're making three futures plays, and these are all centered in the AFC. Let's start with your AFC East thoughts.
Well, obviously, this could be dead come Sunday night if the Bills were to lose to New England. But I think there's still a little bit of value here to be had. I hate when people say that. I just said it. It's kind of the verbal crutch. I think there's value. But I think Buffalo can still win the AFC East. If they win this week, there's a chance that they may not lose again this year. New England still has the Ravens left. Look, we don't know if the Ravens are any good. We don't know if Lamar Jackson is going to be healthy. We don't know if that game is going to mean anything for New England. But if the Ravens were to beat New England and the Bills were to win out and they got the terrible Browns, the terrible Jets, and the Eagles in Buffalo, who right now are a mess as well, there's a chance those two teams finish with identical records, and then it's going to come down to tie breaks. And I think it's the conference – record would be the next tiebreaker, and I think the Bills might get. I think they might be even in the tiebreak if that's the case in division. Maybe they get it. So I think there's a chance that Buffalo can still win that division.
Yeah, it goes from head to head to division to conference. Yes, and they would win on conference. Kelly, you confirming
common games record
conference. That's right.
Okay,
it's different now. Okay, and then this is one I'm fascinated by because, you know, we often ask with the completely wide open AFC, you know, I do the thing where I'm like, okay, tell me who represents the AFC in the Super Bowl, quick. And most people go Bills or Chiefs, they quickly say something like that. And then every once in a while we hear an outlier. You have an outlier. What's your call here?
I like Jacksonville. I know we kind of laugh at them all year long for winning games, ugly and turnover luck, but they're going to beat the Jets this week. They'll beat the Colts in a couple of weeks. They'll beat the Titans. So that's 3-1 at worst right there. You're looking at a team that's going to have 12 wins. They're going to get probably two home playoff games, and maybe they're going to have to wind up going to Buffalo or going to New England or going to Denver in the AFC Championship game. It's a team that I think we just have assumed all year is going to just kind of fall apart, but Brian Thomas is actually making some catches lately. Lawrence looks like a serviceable NFL quarterback for the first time in a while. As long as that defense continues to get turnovers, and there's no reason to believe that they're not going to anymore. I think Jacksonville, look, if this is a league where you're not going to have Mahomes in the playoffs, you're not going to have Burrow in the playoffs, you might not have Lamar, why not take a shot with one of the longer-priced teams? Because there's a whole lot of questions, I think, in the AFC right now. If you're looking at a playoff that has Bo Nix with home field, Drake May, the Steelers. I mean, there are a lot of Chargers who were beat up. I'd like Jacksonville's chances quite a bit there at that price.
Yeah, this is to win the AFC once again, because, man, there is a scenario where the Super Bowl spread is going to be large this year. Depending on who comes out, obviously. Mm-hmm. I mean, it depends always. But this year, specifically in the AFC, if a team like the Jags comes out, even having made a run, if they play a team like the Rams or the Seahawks having made a run, there's no telling what that spread will be at that point. Here's another one from the NFL. This is interesting. So adjusted season win totals. Colts are 8-5 right now. This is under 8.5 wins, meaning 0-4 the rest of the way. It's the single hardest remaining schedule in the NFL. We don't know who's starting at quarterback at Seattle this week. You are going under it, plus 225.
Yeah, and I guess you have to figure out and do the math to see what's better, the money line rollover with the Nets. But they're not winning this week in Seattle. I don't think they're going to beat San Francisco next week. I don't think they'll beat Jacksonville the week after that. And then I don't think they're going to lose at Houston. I mean, I don't think they're going to win at Houston the week after that, whether it's Riley Leonard, Phillip River, whomever is a quarterback. The defense is a mess right now as well. This is a team that I think is going to be on a 7-game losing streak to end the season, which is unfortunate from where they were earlier in the year, because it looked like JT was going to be Offensive Player of the Year. It looked like Daniel Jones had a great thing going, and the injuries unfortunately have caught up with that. But this is a Colts team that I think has a lot of problems right now, and I would not be surprised at all if they do not win another game the rest of the year.
Okay, real quick, we'll get all to some more college football plays from you on the other side. But any insight from a guy who hears things and has a lot of connections, any insight on who might be Michigan's next coach?
I am not necessarily buying this, like Kalen DeBoer is the front runner to go there. Like, even if they were to lose to Oklahoma next week in the playoff, I can't see him just up and going after two seasons in Tuscaloosa. Alabama is still a really good job. And you think this pressure in Alabama, Auburn, just wait till there's pressure in Ohio State, Michigan as well. So I think he stays at Alabama. I think if he's looking to leave, it would ultimately be for kind of a West Coast type job. The good thing in these prediction markets that we like to look at, Gil, like there's free money to be had. If you're looking to lay a price, like taking the no on guys like Nick Saban, Urban Meyer, Coach O, these Tom Brady, like these guys who just are not, Wink Martindale, like these guys are not getting the job. So it's basically lay in a lot to win a little, be able to buy yourself a nice little lunch once this gets great.
That's right. Bankroll building, I believe, is what we call that. More with Felica on the other side. College football next on A Numbers Game.
VSIN, the sports betting network.
As the official horse racing partner of VSIN, First Bet is built for bettors who demand more. First Bet isn't just about placing a bet. It's about helping bettors of all levels with proprietary AI handicapping tools that provide data-driven insights to help you make smarter bets. First Bet's in-app tools give you win, place, and show probabilities for each runner so you can quickly and easily identify good value plays and improve your ROI. Right now, you can take advantage of a limited time $250 sign-up offer. To claim your bonus, use promo code VSIN250 when you sign up in the First Bet app or at firstbet.com. That's promo code VSIN250. We get tweets beating the book. Y'all are the best. For reals.
I wonder if anybody beat... Did anybody beat Somich last week? We didn't get an update.
Yeah, they beat Somich?
I claimed I was going to, but then, of course, I forgot on Saturday.
Kelly Bidley. Nick, rules for society. Am I getting too cute considering Dallas... When I have San Francisco, the Texans, and the Jags available in Survivor? Are you getting too cute? It's a little adorable. I'll put it that way.
Did you say, is the Niners available?
He does, yeah.
Yeah, I'm going there.
It's a little adorable. Jason McKinney, was your Starbucks read in honor of Fezzik? Oh, you're not the first person to tweet that in. do we have a Starbucks read during Fezzik? We should do that.
Of course not. No, come on. Of course not. I had spaced that out for like by 2 hours just because of Steve.
Oh, no, you should have spaced it in. You're doing this all wrong. That would have been great. Skit, do you remember where you were when the Kyle Pitts legacy game took place?
7% Gil of his total career fantasy points occurred last night.
That's amazing. But this is what we were talking about with Warren a little bit earlier in the week, because I was mentioning that I watched the Portis Champ Bailey podcast. They were on some DC podcast, the two guys were interestingly traded for each other, but they were like, Atlanta just makes it too difficult. Just go. We all know who your horses are. Just go to them.
Mm-hmm.
Old guy, get off my lawn, says. On the Megapod, we learned Dr. Bob was responsible for all of Fezzik's contest success. I can't wait to hear his response today. That might come up. Jason McKinney, coming from a Notre Dame fan, please tell the Bear I was able to make some money on the Canes making the playoffs. I'm still upset about the process. They have to figure the exhibition out. Thank you. It's great seeing the best teams playing for a natty. That's very, very good of Jason McKinney. Level-headed response there. Schizo also puts it out. He goes, I bet the Pats preseason 5-1 to win the division, and so I hedged the Bills. +425. Now I can just be a Pats fan this Sunday since I've secured a profit. Good for you, Skit. Herschel Bird, if New England beats division rivals Jets and Miami, they win the East no matter what with a better division record than Buffalo, he points out. I think he's correct about that. Ryan Kleinfelter. I was looking at the Bills to win the AFC East too, but the problem is the Bills already have two division losses and the Pats have zero. That's correct. Even if the Bills win out and the Pats lose to the Ravens, the Pats would still be ahead due to division record. Pats are almost a lock to win the division. Yep, it would take some sort of collapse, that's for sure. Beginning, though, with this Sunday. Chris Velika, kind enough to join us for a second segment, courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. Once again, he is the Bear. You may know him better as the Bear, El Oso, from Fox Sports. Bear Bets Podcast, when people expect them? The next one.
The new one was posted yesterday. And then we'll have one on Monday with a little World Cup preview, post-draw analysis with my man Stu Holden.
Oh, there
and
you go.
And then we'll have another one up next Wednesday as well before the college football playoff. Thank you for the tiebreaker update. I had my order of tiebreaks. So, yeah, that certainly would affect that. And, yes, most Notre Dame fans are like your Twitter feedback there. That I think, and that's what Brady Quinn and I were talking about as well. It's not the fact that Miami is in over Notre Dame, because I think most reasonable people like use the head-to-head to try and break a tie when you got two teams with the same record and similar everything else. It indeed was the whole process of why did it take forever for this to happen? Why was this not the first thing to get brought into the conversation? Why was Miami behind them for so? I get that point of view. We were all in the same boat there, but thank you. I'm happy to help you kind of ease your pain a little bit. And Steve Fezzik, I'm Team Duncan Fezzik. I'm not Team Starbucks. So,
there you go.
Just so you know, Starbucks is bad.
Let's review the couple of college football bets you made. By the way, Chris was in town. He was on the set here earlier in the week. He's doing double duty with us. When you were here, you made a couple college football calls. Under Alabama, 20.5 points versus Oklahoma. Under Oklahoma, team total 20.5. Don't know how they're going to score three touchdowns against Alabama. So under Oklahoma, team total 20.5. And you also did this prop bet at FanDuel where you took the field versus Indiana and Ohio State, mm-hmm. correct? Those two.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah. However it works out better for you, because I think I saw on one of the other books too, you had an over-under the total of seeds, or the seed total, that number that would win the title, over 2.5, under 2.5. And obviously two would be, number one would be Ohio State, number two would be Indiana. So whatever you can get the better price for is how you can.
All right. And then you alluded to this, but you've actually put two bets behind this now, both bullish on Oregon. What did you do?
I bet Oregon to win the title at plus 850, and I bet an Oregon over Georgia exacta at 19-1. I think the Ducks are really good. I know they did lose to Indiana at Autzen earlier in the year, but I think now the Indiana defensive injury is massive. I think Oregon, as they get healthier now at receiver, I would expect to Corrigan Moore and Gary Bryant Jr. to be back at wide receiver for Oregon. I think their offensive line is getting healthy. You kind of get a walkthrough game against James Madison next week to kind of get your feet right. Then you've got another, 12 days off or so before you have to play again. I think Oregon would get revenge over Indiana if they were to play. That game against Texas Tech is really good, but I think Oregon is kind of a forgotten team right now, especially with how embarrassed they got in the playoff last year. They kind of been building towards this, and I think that will serve as a little bit of a motivating factor as well. And Georgia on the bottom side, I kind of just going along the lines of team that you really wouldn't want to play now. Stockton has gotten better. The defense has gotten much better. They beat Ole Miss already, who would be their 3-6 games. I think Georgia to reach the semifinal at the very minimum would be a good bet. And like I said, if I'm fading Indiana and Ohio State, I think if you can get that group of Oregon, Georgia, Texas Tech, A&M, Miami, it would not surprise me if any one of those teams wound up winning the title.
All right, let's do this. Let's do this game. You just said Oregon over Georgia and exacta. Let's take Oregon and Georgia off the table, and I'll take one more. I'll take Ohio State off the table. Obviously, you're not going to answer James Madison or Tulane to this. So that leaves us with seven. If I come to you from the future and I say, hey, Chris, one of those other seven won the college football national title, the answer to that question would be?
I know I'm going to be accused of being a homer, but I'm going to say Miami. And I think you have to look at Miami's season in like three acts. Act number one was when they beat Notre Dame earlier in the year, crushed Florida, crushed South Florida, who all ranked at the time. And you're like, oh my God, this might be the best team in the country. And they were ranked number two at the time. The middle part of their year, bad turnover game by Carson Beck against Louisville, blew the late lead against SMU. And then the last four games where they have been one of the most, if not like the most dominant team in the country with how well they're playing. Beck is throwing like one pick, completing like 80% of his passes. I think he's the highest rated passer over the last month of the season. Sacks they're getting after the quarterback. They're getting healthy now. So I think we are circling back around. And Mario Cristobal has brought up this point as well about he thinks they're playing better now than they were at the point in the year when they were ranked number two in the country and people were talking about them. Their trenches up front on both sides of the ball have been fantastic. I think that would give them a chance of holding up against the Ohio State defensive line in the quarterfinal. And I think their defensive line would give them a chance of getting after Julian Sain. Look, we've seen Ohio State play a couple of really good defenses now in Texas at the start of the year and then Indiana last week. And the Buckeyes offense didn't do a thing. I think we saw last week as well. Sure, they ran the ball well against Michigan up there in Ann Arbor, but when they had crucial third down plays in the red zone and such, we didn't see Jackson or anybody else get the ball. It was like Julian Sain with these really weird-looking quarterback sneaks that didn't go well. That told me a little bit that I don't think they still trust their running game as much as they did last year, for sure. They don't have a Will Howard who can run and take over a game on the ground like he did last year at times. I think Ohio State probably is still ultimately the team to beat, but their road certainly would not be an easy one whatsoever. And I think Miami would have a very good chance of getting to that title game, potentially winning it all.
The homer accusations will come flooding in, but I appreciate the candor.
Oh, of course.
Of course. Real quick.
That being said, if A&M were to win, I'd say the same thing about A&M, because A&M and Miami are pretty like mirror images of each other. Both teams protect the passer. Both teams get after the passer. Both teams have guys at wide receiver like Malachi Toney from Miami and then Concepcion and Craver for A&M. Quarterbacks who can make a big play one way or another, either good or bad. I think those teams are two mirror images of each other. And if A&M were to beat Miami, I'd give them a chance against Ohio State too.
Or for those who tuned in the middle of that, he still has Oregon over Georgia in the final. He made that bet. So I was just asking him a specific question. And real quick, 5 seconds. Mendoza will edge out Pavia for the Heisman, you believe?
Yes. Mendoza 1, Pavia 2, Love 3, Sagan 4.
There it is. Chris Valica. Thank you, Chris. Appreciate it.
You got it, Chris.
Coming back on A Numbers Game.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
If you missed it the first time, and the second, and the third, good news, we're giving you one last chance to score an unforgettable Vegas weekend at Circa Resort Casino. Right now, the first 100 new Visa Pro annual subscribers who sign up using promo code CIRCA will receive a free 3-night stay at Circa Resort Casino January 2nd through the 5th, plus a day bed at Stadium Swim during the final weekend of the NFL regular season. Day bed. Hey. You also save 50% off the monthly price and get a full year of VSiN Pro daily best bets, exclusive betting splits, AI-powered prop tools, 24/7 video, and every betting guide from the College Football Playoff Guide through next year's NFL Guide. It's your last shot at the Circa getaway, though, so don't wait. Lock in your spot now, VSiN.com/Circa. Use promo code CIRCA. That's VSIN.com/Circa. Skill Alexander, we get tweets, beating the book. You just put in a horse bet for us, by the way?
I put in a horse bet. This is courtesy of, let me make sure I get this right, Felix from Cincinnati, who likes to email me from time to time.
Thank you, Felix.
Sent this over. Race 5 tonight at Turfway Park. Horse number 1. Numbers game.
Lock.
Not a numbers game.
We'll use that excuse if it doesn't get out.
Yeah. Numbers game. Horse 1.
What's the odds?
You know, 15-1 for now.
For now.
I shouldn't have brought it up. Now everybody's going to go and bet it. We're going to end up with like 7-1.
Why did I ask?
Forgot how horse betting works.
Oh, forgot about that.
Paramutual odds.
Adam Schefter with breaking news. Does this constitute breaking news? when he's talking about the quarterback who's going to start for the New York Jetropolitans against the Jaguars. Brady Cook fans, he's your starter.
Might not be breaking news. It makes me feel better about stumbling through the Jets quarterback conversation earlier.
Brady Cook will get his first start Sunday versus the Jaguars. We get tweets, beating the book. Primetime, Cowboys underscore Cubs one. Yo, hey, man.
What's up?
Great blanking game last night. I got a question, he said. Does tapping a toe on 1 foot twice constitute a catch? Bijan almost had 2 left foot toe taps before his right foot landed out of bounds on a catch. Made me say, peace and blank and love. It is my understanding that if you tap your toe twice on 1 foot and the other foot doesn't go in bounds before you go out of bounds, that is not a catch. Should not be a catch.
Yeah. Good question, though.
Good question.
We had a good conversation on the break.
Should not
I
be
could one. Do two. I could do 2 hours of this, by the way.
Just answering people's rules questions?
It's how ridiculous the NFL is, but like me and you have seen so much of it. Oh, most of these I'm pretty confident.
We've done seen it all. Buddhist man, feel free to use this graphic during the Starbucks read during the 12 noon hour. He's got Together is the best place to be the Starbucks ad with Fezzik's face on it. Thank you, Buddhist. Jason James, will the Jacksonville home playoff game be in Jacksonville or London? Ha! See what he did there? I like it.
Aren't they playing games like in Orlando next year or something, too?
Really?
Yeah, they're like redoing that stadium, I think.
You mean they're leaving Duval County?
I mean, briefly.
Wow. Is that allowed? Chance Copperpot, tried the Lebowski Challenge when I was a young man. I do not believe humans are supposed to consume that much booze mixed with milk products. I have not had a White Russian in 25 years. Movie's a classic, though. It's right up there with the Diddy Doc.
It was...
It's that good? Wow.
I mean, it's a cult classic. It's a cult classic. It's really that part, though, the milk products, the half and half. It's like the eggnog, right? If I didn't have the eggnog bet with Gil and Matt, I would not have completed that, but I did complete it.
Great moments in primetime action history.
Mm-hmm.
Kelly
mm-hmm.
Bidlin eggnog challenge.
What was that? What size is that? A half gallon? It was a half gallon.
I think you did a half gallon half of gallon eggnog during a three-hour show.
I thought it was 2 hours. Wasn't Matt arguing with me about the amount of time? Because he argues with me about everything.
Matt, if you want to get into one of these kinds of bets with Matt, he will detail you to death on it.
I've probably done 19 lifetime side bets with Matt Brown like that before. Lawyers need to be involved every time.
Yeah, he brings in attorneys.
The rules are incredible.
I'm like, who are these people, Matt? He's like, my attorneys. Nevada Azer. Where you been, Nevada Azer? He says, two words, Mario Cristobal. The Bear has far too much faith in what will be continued coaching malpractice. You know what? I think if we had said that to the Bear, if we had time and we had said that, he would have agreed with you. Because that's the thing. For Miami to win it all, you have got to believe in Mario Cristobal winning 4 playoff games in a row. Yeah. Lockman, just put $20 on Calci that ANG will be the best betting show of 2026. Good bet or bad bet? Well, I mean, what do you think we're going to say? Money Gun Guts, can you ask Fez if you're in the top 5 of millions, is it a good or bad idea to bet opposite of your plays, and when would it be the right time to start doing this? Final 4 weeks, 2 weeks, etc. Thank you. I will ask him that. His opinion. Jason H11, another great megapod. Love listening to Dr. Bob when there's no worries of a hard out cutting him off. Isn't that the best? We'll have Dr. Bob on here momentarily. But that really, some people are built for podcast as opposed to radio.
Mm-hmm. I didn't get a chance to listen yet. How did it all go?
Oh,
Bob's great.
He's great. Well, we kind of went back in history with Bob because we had questions about how did Bob get started? What are his advice? What is his advice for people who want to start modeling sports?
Oh, that's great.
Just some of the great Dr. Bob-isms. You know, I was very
awesome. I can't wait to listen.
I was very fortunate because, you know, it just by circumstance, right? I happened to be in San Francisco because I got a job at KMEL, was always betting, started a sports betting podcast, reached out to Bob, happened to live 7 blocks away from me. And, you know, San Francisco was an interesting place, right? Jeff Ma lived in our neighborhood. Joe Pita was also in San Francisco. So it was just an interesting place to be.
Wow.
When it came to that, I joke, I was reared on the lap of Dr. Bob, on the edge of his knee. But it's really true. What a great sports betting education to have.
You guys first met because of the pod?
Because of the pod. I was doing the Betting Dork podcast.
I didn't know that detail.
Betting Dork podcast.
I knew you met in San Francisco.
Yeah, 2011. That's how long ago it was podcast. 2011. Just, you know, knew about him because he had fame he was on the Wall Street Journal. He was on ESPN. He was moving lines dramatically in college football many years before that. And I emailed him and he didn't say yes. He wanted to suss me out. So we went to lunch and The rest is history. We went to that same place for lunch maybe 400 times.
You brought up Jeff Ma, too. I was listening to Bet the Process pod yesterday that he does with Rufus Peabody, obviously, who's been on the Megapod as well. What was that, 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago? They had on John Reeder yesterday, who I've been telling you about, does that Risk of Ruin podcast. Such a great interview. Risk of Ruin is a awesome podcast. If you are into, if you're listening to this, you are. If you're into any type of gambling whatsoever, the episodes he has done, it reach everywhere from sports betting to different casino games. It all kind of, it's all about advantage players, basically. Fascinating, amazingly well done storytelling.
Yes.
Like some of my favorite content of 2025.
Only hear the best things about
it. Yeah, it's really good.
Steve Bielo, the most snowflakey of all Bills Mafia fans, says, longtime Buffalo Bill hater Gil Alexander picking them on Monday's Guessing the Line show has me terrified. He's a very sensitive Bills fan. Very sensitive. Can't say anything bad about him.
I don't even know if you, I feel like I wouldn't classify Gil as a Bills hater.
I'm not. But
he
Steve
likes to make fun of me for how much I love Josh Allen, but that's
Steve,
about it.
But Steve thinks so if I say that you're a Josh Allen right. over-the-top lover. Steve's like, oh my God, he hates us. All right, NBA Cup.
Wait. Let me say some good thing about the Bills, though. The past couple days, we've broken down this AFC and how it looks weak, right? And anybody could get there. We talked to Drew Dinsick yesterday. His highest power-rated team, you go look at AFC odds.
Oh, yeah, we didn't review that because we talked about that off-air.
There's three teams at the top of the AFC odds, right? And he has the Bills as his highest power-rated AFC team.
Bills and then a gap.
Bills and a gap.
Bills a gap to the Patriots.
Right.
Followed closely by the Chiefs.
By the Chiefs third.
Followed by the Texans. Followed by the Jaguars, I believe.
I believe five. You're right, too.
Yes.
So, real quick. We are talking, okay, this is, I'm the Bills guy, right?
You are the Bills guy.
I have Bills bets this year for them to have the most wins, over 13 and a half wins. That's not going to get home. This defense is a nightmare.
A shrine to Josh Allen in your living room.
I'm getting there.
Yeah.
Defense is a nightmare. I will admit that. Serious, serious concerns. The skill position players that are around Josh Allen, okay, Cook's great. Dalton Kincaid, when he's healthy, has been good. Other than that, they're severely lacking. If the Bills get to a Super Bowl, it's going to be all Josh Allen.
Yes.
It's incredible.
And as
I can't wait to watch it.
As we pointed out with when we were talking about the NFC versus AFC bet yesterday, I still think NFC represents good value at minus 150. The only way it does not is if the Bills get to the Super Bowl or if the Chiefs somehow make an epic run and get to the Super Bowl. Otherwise, it's still... I think any NFC team over an AFC team is going to be favored by at least 2.5, 3 points.
I really believe that. I know I've texted you. No, I'm with you. I know I've texted you a couple times about this. It's cracking me up listening to some of the mainstream media where you just like put the records and it's like Broncos, Patriots,
yeah,
two losses. How do they have the same odds as the Bills? Like they're not even going to win their own division.
It blows their mind. Anything NBA Cup semis?
Yes, I do. Can't wait. I think I'm going to go to this game tomorrow afternoon. 5:40 p.m. Eastern time, 2:40 Pacific. I love that. Magic Knicks. I laid the points with the Knicks in this game tomorrow. I played them in the first round as well. Played against the Magic, so I guess it kind of makes sense that I'm playing the Knicks here, even though the Magic obviously won that game. Knicks 9-2 over their last 11, plus 12.8 net rating during that time. The second best in the NBA. They are a top 8 offensive and defensive team right now on a roll. I will be backing the New York Knicks laying 4.5. The Magic, Desmond Bane was awesome. I think this team is still going to miss Franz here at some point. And Paolo is playing more. Still think it's going to be too little against the Knicks.
Thunder roll. Let's keep doing it, Thunder. Just got to win.
Spurs took money. 9.5 now.
9.5. Oh, boy. Let's go, Thunder. Just got to win this one. And then Tuesday night's the Cup Final. $500,000 prize for every player who wins. Coming back.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Back on a numbers game live from Circa Resort Casino, downtown Las Vegas. Gil Alexander. That's Kelly Bidley, everybody. We get tweets of beating the book. John Albrecht. A challenge that sounds easy to spice up any MLB game. One beer, one stadium, hot dog per inning. Must finish by end of inning. Never had a winner in my group. Oh, to get through 9 innings of that?
I've done a revised version of that.
Yeah, you can't do 9 hot dogs.
But it was that part. It was too many hot dogs.
Yeah. Scott, New York, Mets 16. Listening to the Megapod just confirms that Dr. Bob is the pioneer. His story of how he started out is the definition of pioneer. Time to own it, Doc. It's said with total respect. We'll see what Bob has to say about that momentarily. Chris Heath, come on, Gil. What's the name of the restaurant you and Bob went to 400 times? Oshitai. We went to the one on Union Street in San Francisco. That one no longer exists, but there's plenty of Oshitais around San Francisco. But that one doesn't exist anymore. Chris Thompson Auctions. Gil, what's your opinion on D'Amico Ryan's winning coach of the year? If the Texans win out, I got him at 100-1 last week. It's 45-1 now. Chris Thompson Auctions, we actually spoke about this yesterday, I believe it was, or the day before.
Yeah, I bet it.
You bet it.
I bet it.
You bet it. You're maybe the better person to ask then.
150-1.
For whatever reason, Vrabel's way too big of a favorite. There are still coaches.
Yes.
Like if Seattle wins the NFC West, why isn't Mike McDonald the guy? Same thing can apply to the guy like D'Amico Ryans.
There's a lot of good cases out there. Yes. I think that's really the big
potentially.
Potentially, right? Yes. These last few weeks are going to matter a ton for that race.
David Gonzalez, is it impossible to think Seattle can beat LA? Green Bay loses once and San Francisco wins out to take the one seed at 9-1, which set up for an incredible season finale with San Francisco hosting Seattle. Remember the goal line stand in 2019? Yes, I do. Nothing's impossible in this sport, for sure. Joe Pita took the Niners 25-1, I believe, to win it all. Nevada Azer. Busy times undergoing major home reno, but I will be in town next week. We'll try to stop by and say hello. Please do. And Lance Schaefer, and this leads right into, the play that Bob wants to talk about in the NFL. He says, as a lifelong Chicago Bears fan, this week's Browns game is the game we would lose in the past. If the Bears lose, same old Bears. If they handle the Browns, then we're truly in a new era of Bears football. Dr. Bob joins us now off his Megapod appearance yesterday, kind enough to do a double dip with us, as he always does on Fridays. Here on A Numbers Game, he joins us courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. You can follow him on Twitter at drbobsports, drbobsports.com. Bob, good morning to you, sir.
Good morning, buddy. How's it going?
Doing very well.
Enjoyed myself yesterday on the podcast. An hour and a half of time well spent.
There you go. Well, we appreciate it. We always enjoy your appearances, and the response has been very, very good to your appearance. I think people like it when we go back into your history and think how you started. Some serendipitous, some by design. It's always interesting. And yours is as interesting as anybody else's. So we appreciate you sharing that with us. I want to talk real quick before we get to your NFL thoughts on the Bears game. Real quick about Army-Navy, because I feel like I should probably mention this before the week is out, which is when people think about Army-Navy, sure, the spread is 6, but the total is 38. And we know how this goes, right? Everybody immediately talks about the total in Army-Navy. With the offensive stylings of both of these, service academy schools, people always seem to gravitate towards the under. What do you have to say about it?
Well, they should. I mean, who can defend the option better than a team that defends the option every day in practice? So when option teams get together, they're facing defenses that face the option every single day in practice and know how to defend it. So an Army, Navy, and Air Force who all run the option get together. The under is 54-16-4. Now, the market is not stupid. About 10 years ago, it used to be just money. But anyway, the market starts adjusting for that. But since 2014, when I noticed they started adjusting, the under is still 27-6-2, even more under since 2014 in military versus military games. And even if you throw Rice and Air Force in and some other the Rice and Navy or Army, even those games, because Rice runs the option this year, even those games tend to go under. So option versus option teams tend to go under. They've reduced the total to adjust for that, but they still don't tend to adjust enough. I think I'm not betting it, but I come up with, after making the adjustments that I normally make for these types of games, I think 34 or 35 points is what it should be. The total's 38. Like I said, I don't think there's enough value to bet the under because they do adjust it down. But if you're going to bet the game, I think the under is the way to go. If you want to just make a small friendly wager or something, that would still be the way I'd look at the game. I don't have anything on the side.
Under or nothing is basically what Bob is saying there. Under or nothing. Okay. Yep. To the National Football League, you talked about this game on the Megapod, but let's share with the radio side. Bears 7.5-point favorites against the Browns, hosting the Browns in what should be frigid temperatures in Chicago. What do you got here?
Well, you know, people are excited about Shedeur Sanders, and he had a really nice game. He's throwing the ball down the field, et cetera, et cetera. And he's averaging 6.2 yards per pass play, which is solid. I mean, 6.2 yards per pass play is pretty good. Except I don't think he can maintain that. Sanders has completed just 52% of his passes, and his 37.6% success rate ranks 43rd out of 44 qualifying quarterbacks. Now, success rate is more predictive of future success than yards per pass play, which is variable, and a couple big pass plays can raise your yards per pass attempt or yards per pass play, and is not as predictive as success rates are. So I think Shedeur Sanders is not likely to continue to average over 14 yards of completion. Probably not going to happen going forward. He takes a lot of sacks. He took a lot of sacks in college. His offensive line is probably down three starters. I don't think right tackle Jack Conklin is going to make it through concussion protocol. He hasn't practiced all week, so they'll be down three starters on the offensive line. The Bears can rush the passer just fine. So I think Sanders is going to struggle. He basically has struggled except for some big pass plays here or there. Plus, likely without tight end David Njoku, who injured himself on a touchdown pass last week. They still have another tight end, Harold Fannin, and the better of the two. Fannin's having a great season. But the Bears are really good at defending tight ends. They're ninth in the league defending tight ends based on expected points added per play allowed to tight ends. And now they only have to deal with one of them instead of two of them. I still think Cleveland's going to run a lot of heavy personnel, which they do at the second highest rate in the league, the two tight end sets. But the Bears rank third in the league relative against heavy personnel compared to other formations. So they're really good at defending that type of offense. So I think it's a good matchup for Chicago's defense. When you think about the Browns, the offense has struggled all year. The strength is obviously their pass rush. They're third in the league in pressure rate. But the Bears' offensive line is one of the best in the league. They're second in the league in pass blocking efficiency. So I don't think the Browns are going to have their normal pass rush against that offensive line. And in the back end, the Browns are maybe going to struggle a little bit. Top corner Denzel Ward, former Pro Bowl corner, has an injured calf. And he's been practicing a little bit, and not really, just walkthroughs, hasn't really practiced on. He says he's going to play, but how effective is he going to be with an injured calf that he says he hopes to be able to play? So I think the Bears are the side here. The math model has the Bears by 11.5, and after adjusting for all the injuries, and I think the matchup favors the Bears. So Bears minus 7.5 is the play.
There you go, Lance Schaefer, and all the other Bears fans out there. Bob, strong case for the Chicago Bears. Let me just bring this up in our last 90 seconds here, because we alluded to this yesterday. We heard about the TJ Watt news. Lung discomfort, was in the hospital, questionable for Monday night hosting the Dolphins. Down to three now. What's your take on that adjustment now?
Yeah, I think the adjustment is what I expected. When we talked about in the pod, the news I just kind of heard about before I jumped on with you guys yesterday. And I think Watt's worth, a point and a half, but going from 3.5 to three is similar to a point and a half. I mean, as far as win probability goes. So I think it's a fair adjustment. I think Pittsburgh's the right side in that game, even without Watt. But obviously it's not as good as if you were playing. So I do think they are the right side in that game, though. So that's the way I would go. And I talked about it yesterday on the podcast that I like Pittsburgh there, even though I didn't like it as much with Watt out. But at minus three, I think it's still a good play. Miami's not as good against good teams. They're not as good off a win, et cetera. And I still think Pittsburgh matches up pretty well against the Dolphins.
Do you read anything into Tua in cold weather, those kinds of things?
Yeah, kind of. I mean, he's from Hawaii, then played in the South and the SEC. I actually had a best bet on Miami last week. They were in a great spot and a good matchup, and they beat up on bad teams. They're a bully. But it was mild. It was 37 degrees, not really windy. The wind chill wasn't that bad, but it's going to be in the teens in Pittsburgh on Monday night. So I do think there's something to it. I wouldn't base bets on, just him in the going against him in the cold, but I think there's something to it.
All right. Bob's official play, though, the Chicago Bears minus 7.5. Bob, thank you for doing the doubleheader, man. We truly appreciate it.
Yeah, my pleasure, Jill.
Dr. Bob, everybody. Bob Stoll at DrBobSports on Twitter. drbobsports.com. Often has pro football and college football free analysis on there as well. Steve Fezzik on the other side. It's a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.